set it, you're gone. Yonder Wendelstad is so off base for that. So the fan in the blue shirt is the one who says something to Hunter Wendelstad. That's what he reacts to, and he kicks out Aaron Boone, who says, whoa, I didn't say anything. And Brad Ausmus is pointing, saying, it's a fan, it's a fan.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gaming.
5 o'clock hours here. We'll get to some of the stories of the day, get you updated on some of the scores out there. Later in the hour, we'll do more Path to the Draft, talk about the Buffalo Bills. But Matt Jacob, flexible today, nice enough to check in with us. And Matt, I don't know if you heard that on the way back with Boone getting ejected. Did you hear it?
I did. I saw the video clip. I also saw Hunter Wendelstad call a ball that was about 3 feet outside a strike later in the game. And he either had some place to be quickly in Manhattan today or – You know, Steve, I got a theory going on here. If you've seen, it's been bad this season, the umps. And I don't know, I got a feeling it's just a matter of petty vindictiveness. They know what's coming.
Yep.
They know the ball strike robo umps are going to come. And yeah, they'll still have their jobs behind home plate, but they're going to lose a major portion of their control of the game. And there ain't nothing that MLB umps love more than to control the game. These egos on these guys are insane. And, you know, they like thumbing their nose at Manfred and whatever else to say, look, you guys want robo umps, and we're just going to call this game however we want to see it until you replace us. I think these guys are really ticked off, and I mean specifically the veteran guys like your Hunter Wendelstads, your Laz Diaz's, your Angel Hernandez's. I think it's been bad this season, really bad.
I think it was you flipped out last week on Angel Hernandez, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I never see Matt Jacob use language. And I think there were a couple of expletives. I was like, wow, he pissed off Matt big time.
I try to keep my Twitter feed slightly on the left side of R-rated, but definitely not in personal life. So I try to control myself when I'm on the air here with these dudes, Steve. But yeah, I mean, it's like he's Angel Hernandez. Angel Hernandez / I think I've used his analogy before, Keith Hernandez. I can do whatever I want because they can't fire me.
It's amazing. And while Aaron Boone is replaceable, it's a manager, they're important, but what happens in a playoff game? If I'm an opposing fan, why not just sit over the Yankees dugout and try to do your best Aaron Judge? Like you know, whatever. Have someone track him and just kind of follow him. I don't know, you're gonna move seats and stuff, but just yell. I mean, the ump said, I don't care who said it. A fan said it! How can you toss Boone when a fan said it? We're going to have a playoff game? And it's like, oh, Aaron Judge said it. No, he didn't. I don't care. He's out of here. Like, what are we doing?
I think in mid-thumb, he was thumbing Aaron Boone. I think he knew what happened, but he wasn't going to pull back on that. And he wasn't going to admit he was wrong because he's never do. I think he knew pretty quickly that it wasn't Aaron Boone, but he was going straight to, I don't care who said it. That was his mentality. So it's a bad day at the office for Hunter Wendelstad and Aaron Boone.
Adults.
Unfortunately, bore the brunt of it.
Adults playing a game, managing a game, and they're dealing with a teacher as if they're 13 years old. I don't care who said it. You're all in trouble.
It's unreal. It's unreal.
Amazing. All right. I want to start breaking down what we've got coming up here. And hockey and pro basketball has already started. And, we can kind of move into series and consider what we're going to do. But coming out of the gates, it's been very chalky, very favorite heavy with the NBA and the NHL.
Yeah, it sure has been. You look at just every home team's won. It's straight up. It's you look at both leagues combined. The home teams are 14-0. In the NBA, it's 7-1 against the spread, and it's 5-2 on the puck line. Or sorry, 5-1 on the puck line for home teams in the NHL. Its favorites are 6-2 straight up in the NBA. And again, all the home teams were favored in the NHL. It's been crazy. I mean, it's just kind of those weird things. At the NBA, this is the first time I think since 2013. That the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs, all home teams won. So it's a bit of an aberration. And we'll see, I think, more so in the Western Conference than the Eastern Conference. I think you're going to see some lopsided series in the East. But I think the West, you'll see Oklahoma City and New Orleans will be competitive, I believe, even though it's a 1-8. I think you're going to see the Clippers-Mavericks be pretty competitive. I don't know what to make of the Suns. They should be better than they are. And we'll talk Lakers-Nuggets. I think that one's going to be a little bit lopsided. I think the Lakers get a game at least at home, but that's probably about it.
Let's start out with VGK and what you want to do with this game tonight. Last numbers I had were 138, Dallas favored 5.5, series Dallas -145. What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I think VGK played it right. They're going to deny it all they wanted to. I was actually, I go to very few VGK games because, you know, the bank account isn't what it could be to, it should be to afford games like that. But I was there at the season finale, and I swear they were tanking that game. Mm-hmm. They just, they, but of course they needed LA to oblige, and somehow the Kings did. You know, they didn't want Edmonton. Nobody wanted Edmonton. And this is a better series for the Golden Knights. It's going to be more of a defensive series, which is kind of what the Golden Knights have become, although I don't trust their goaltending completely. But I will point out, Steve, this shocked me today. I was totally shocked. Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson almost had identical numbers this season. 2.71 goals against for Aiden Hill, 909 save percentage, 270 for Logan Thompson, 908 save percentage. And you look at Ottinger for the Stars, almost exactly the same, 2.72 goals against and 905 save percentage. Believe it or not, then, the combo of Hill and Thompson was slightly, ever so slightly, better than Ottinger. But I think this is an eye test thing. I think Ottinger is a better goalie. But I think the Golden Knights can steal this game. I think it's going to be a very competitive series. We'll see what happens with Mark Stone coming back. I like the plus money with VGK, even though obviously revenge is on the side of the Stars, but what happened in the Western Conference Finals last year. But I think this is a game, you know, again, does Logan Thompson play as well as he did down the stretches? He was really, really good. Hill, not so much. I think they could steal game one, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring series. I'd be really surprised if we see this be an over series. I'd lean under in a lot of these games.
Matt, taking it back to the NBA, Steve and I were debating last week about who would we take in the 76ers and Knicks series. But after game one, the Knicks get the win, and Joel Embiid, it looks like he's just got to tough it out. Am I too late to hop on the Knicks bandwagon is what I'm saying.
For the series?
For the series, yes.
Yeah, for the series, unless you want to lay some good chalk there, yeah. I mean, I see that both Embiid and Maxey are playing right now. They've combined for 18 points of latest. I've seen 18 or 25, so they're playing well. But Embiid with that knee is just – you just don't know. It's been all his entire career. It's injury after injury after injury. He's great when he's on the court. His teams are generally great when they're on the court, except late in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, I think, DeMont, if you what you want to do is hope the 76ers win this game, because then you're going to get some value on the Knicks coming back in an adjusted series price to be right around pick'em. So, you know, hope, especially if the 76ers win handily. I mean, they're up slightly right now. It's a close game. But I think it's too late to play the Knicks in the series, at least right now. And if certainly if they go up 2-0, this is going to be a pretty quick series. And if they go up 2-0, who knows how long we'll see Embiid.
Speaking of value, with the Lakers and the Nuggets, is there any chance that the Lakers can pull this out?
No. Okay. Not unless they somehow find a third all-star to join LeBron and AD. Because, look, those two guys played awesome in game one. I mean, they did everything they needed to do. They went a combined, you know, 22 of 39. They scored a combined 59 points, had 20 rebounds, 13 assists. Old LeBron had 7 turnovers. I mean, they played well enough to win, but it's just that supporting cast. You know, if D'Angelo Russell and Reeves and Hachimura, if two or three of those guys don't show, and they really didn't show in game one, come on, who's beating Joker? Who's beating this team there? I did say last week, and I did believe it, that this, if you're going to catch Denver, catch them early, because you're dealing with LeBron on high mileage, and AD could get injured at any time. Both those guys have to play for the Lakers and be fresh if the Lakers have a chance. But, you know, I think they'll be a little bit more competitive in game two, but 9 straight wins for Denver. They've covered in the last 6 in a row. You know, you can't bet the Lakers, even at a good price of plus 7 right now. Bet it in game three. I think they take game three. They catch the Nuggets in an off, you know, kind of feeling good about themselves and the Lakers in a must-win situation. I'd take the Lakers probably plus a couple points and on the money line in game three, but – you know, and then if they win this game too, then all bets are off. But seriously, I don't think plus 495 is enough after losing game one. I think you need like plus 600, 700. Because it's just the Nuggets are just a bad matchup for the Lakers.
Matt Jacob on Cofield & Company. All right, what do we do? Bucks Pacers series is completely fascinating. Bucks are now 225. No Giannis, game one. I mean, what do we do? Where's the value here?
This is the one series of the ones that I would feel most confident in jumping on the underdog for a series price going into game two. I think Indiana got blindsided. I think they also kind of gave up in game one when they got down so big. This is a Pacers team that went 4-1 straight up and against the spread against Milwaukee this season. And guess what? Giannis played in all 5 of those games, and they beat them. and they beat them by margin a few times. One was a 2-point game. The other ones were pretty comfortable victories, including a couple in Milwaukee. So the Pacers are green, no doubt about it, but is Damian Lillard going to go for 35 points in the first half again and then zero in the second half like he did in game one? I'm not so sure. We saw what the Bucks were towards the end of the season, certainly without Giannis. Even with Giannis, they were struggling. The Doc Rivers thing just totally backfired on them. So I think getting the Pacers at a good plus price, I would take them in game two, and I would take them to win the series right now. That's the one team out of all the ones that lost game one that I have the most confidence in. So you know, talk to me at this time next week when they get swept, and then we can all laugh.
When it comes to a team that really just didn't show up at all yesterday, the Mavericks against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. Now, that was without, the call, Kawhi Leonard. So is it just a foregone conclusion that once they get Kawhi back that the Clippers are just going to roll in this series?
No. Okay. It isn't, because I don't know that they're going to get Kawhi back. And if they get Kawhi back, it's not going to be 100% Kawhi, clearly. Although Kawhi's the type of guy that he won't play unless he's about 102%. I feel bad saying about that guy. He's an Aztec. Loved him at San Diego State. But the guy just doesn't like playing hurt. And, you know, again, this is a very weird series. I kind of call me a jerk, but I call it a series of losers. I mean, you got James Harden is a bet against guy in the playoffs, had a great game one. Is this going to continue? Probably not. You know, Russell Westbrook, what's he ever won? Luka is young, but still he got to the Eastern Conference Finals, but still hasn't really gotten over that hump. Kyrie won a title but I don't trust him either. This is going to be an entertaining series because there's so many superstars, especially if Kawhi joins it on the court. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion the Clippers win this thing. And in fact, I think the Mavericks will win this thing. I think it goes seven. But I think Dallas is a little bit better a team. And unless Kawhi can really get out there and give him a go, give it a go the way he's supposed to, you know, as good as he is. I think that Dallas had a bad game one. They'll bounce back in game two, and it'll be an entertaining, fun series. This one, I think, is pegged for seven.
A lot of baseball trends to hit on. Let's hit on one because we're up against it here, Matt, and I think it's one of the most important ones because I think a lot of people are playing this. At the bottom of baseball, White Sox 3-18, Marlins 6-17, Rockies in that same range. Do we just fire against them every day? Because I have been pretty consistently, but the run line – because you can get an affordable price, does make it tricky.
I find it hard to believe that the Marlins are as bad as their record is. I don't think they're going to be the playoff team they were last year, like I kind of thought they were coming into the season. I was wrong there. They're going to improve a bit, but this White Sox and Rockies team, a friend of mine texted me today, says, what happens when they play this year? Scoreless through 22 innings? I mean, it's just these teams are historically bad. They may give the A's a run for the 2022 23 A's a run for their money for futility. Yeah, you just keep fading these teams. You know, fade the Rockies, especially on the road. That's always been a trend, but this Rockies team in particular and the White Sox, it's just they're a mess. Again, we talk about it all the time. Every team, the worst teams win 62 games, and the best teams lose 62 games on average. Well, these two teams are going to have a hard time getting to 50-55. So I would be surprised if both the Rockies and White Sox aren't in the bottom five of the money standings at the end of the season. So yeah, run line minus 2.5 runs. Just you know, track some of that stuff when they're really going bad, and it's pretty much all the time they're going bad.
Matt, good job. Tell people on Twitter where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, my stuff's at Matt R. Jacob up on Twitter. Appreciate the opportunity to join you guys always, and best of luck the rest of this week.
Thank you, Matt. There he is, Matt Jacob. Flexible today. We needed it because we wanted to continue that Justin Watkins conversation last hour. We'll post that later on, too, about stadium funding and one of the local politicians, public servants, spewing some poor information and then attacking Northern California, which I didn't really feel was necessary. But all right. So you hit a big event on Sunday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Okay. This was down at Town Square?
Down in Town Square.
What was it?
This was the grand, the soft VIP opening, I should say, of a Pop Stroke. And this is a family-friendly, almost sports bar-feel mini golf place that's going to be new in Town Square.
Okay.
And
What's it built around? In terms of the design, what is it built around?
Oh, it's built.
It's all designed around what? Golf and?
Golf and TVs. So okay. If you want to watch the games there, you can watch whatever you want. They have four giant TVs outside while you're actually playing.
Oh, wow.
And then there's an upstairs and downstairs bar area. So, and it's just, and it's built, I would say, just like any other bar area that you would be at, with tons of TVs so you can watch while you're inside. But while you're outside, I think that that's the key to where, hey, you're outside and you have four giant TVs around you that you can watch whichever game you were on. I was watching hockey, watching basketball, while also playing mini golf. It's great. They've got good deals. I'm gonna give them all the pops. They've got good deals. $35 flat for locals anytime. Tuesdays, kids get a discount and free ice cream for the kids, and they also have a playground area for kids as well. So I mean,
and the mini golf course looked outrageous.
I played on the blue. You got the black.
I was like, that is not a mini golf course.
You've got the black and the blue. The black is like, hey, take it easy. They said family friendly, and the blue. And I told him, I told the guy, you know, he's like, hey, you know, these are the fastest greens you're going to play on. And I said, buddy, JV golf in high school, calm down. and there were several holes where I just picked up my ball and kept it moving.
Oh, really?
Yes.
364-1100 is the Finley Kia text line, 702-364-1100. I had a question about, this is very random. First of all, you can react to what we talked about last hour with Justin Watkins and that video, or those videos from Assembly 23's Daniel Gallant on funding and the viability of the stadium, and if our public servants actually read the information or even understood what they were voting on. That's all I got. I was going to go too hardcore. I was going to give you multiple questions. Simple enough. All right, 364-1100, 702-364-1100. Did you see that there is a bet up already in town? Will Caitlin Clark drop a 50-piece in her rookie season? Will she have 50-plus points in a game?
What are we talking about? See, this is the hater. Things like this that makes the hater in me want to jump out. No, she's not. No. Is it just yes, no? I'm taking that all day. No. That's ridiculous.
I need to get you the odds. That's important.
The odds are important, but that's ridiculous to me, at least. Let's find out, what was her career high at Iowa? Because she had at least a 50-point game in Iowa.
I think without doing the research, I think you're being quick on this. I think you better do some research.
I don't need to do any research, Steve. Blindly, no. Not changing my mind.
Some more frenzy headlines at 5. I saw that Jim Harbaugh got a 15-0 tattoo. Appreciate the video that they took. It was a very quick snippet. It's Michigan 15-0 on his right arm. He was stone-faced, at least in the section that they were doing, trying to show no pain. I don't think tattoos and age matters. Like, you can get tattoos post-60 if you want. But I do feel like if you're that old, you've thought through the tattoo. And maybe he has, like, 10. And I don't know. Maybe he's got them all, like, you know, in a tramp stamp and in his crotch. I don't know about Jim Harbaugh. But if you're getting one post-60, shouldn't it be cool?
That's the biggest problem.
I didn't
Steve.
Understand. Like, yeah, you got a tattoo that says 15-0 with a Michigan, the big M. Like, have something around it. It's lame.
Also, you didn't have to do this, bro. Maybe you told your players.
You didn't have to do this.
You're not going to see them anymore.
Nope.
You're not stepping back into that locker room and looking for a rallying cry of how we're going to attack the 2025 season. You didn't need to do this.
Do you, if you're Harbaugh, you have to go with sleeveless shirts in Southern California a couple times a week? Show off the tat?
I think he's going to downplay it as if, don't make a big deal about this. Like, that first press conference after the draft, and someone's like, hey, can you show us off the tattoo? I don't think he's going to lean into it.
Here's my arm. How did he have his? It's not muscly. Would you recommend getting a first tattoo near my shoulder or bicep? Or is that too embarrassing where you're like, no, dude, because you don't want to be wearing. Now, it's very white right now, so that's a problem. It makes it look worse.
Also,
it will be tanner. Should I get a 54-year-old plus tattoo that for my first tattoo?
No, it just wouldn't look cool, Steve. That's the problem.
There you go.
You would need something that's elaborate, that, you know, that's got some design work to it.
So I have to basically, I have to start the first of like 12 tattoos and get a sleeve.
Yes. Right. If you came in after the summer, like let's say you took 2 weeks off for a vacation and you came back with a full arm sleeve, now that'd be something to talk about.
I'm in. I'm cool.
No. Yeah.
Don't say yeah. You know what? For you, I will. Maybe I'll get it done next week.
It's Cofield and Company.
on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Rolling on Cofield and Company here on a Monday. DeMond is in as a company. It is Steve Cofield. Path to the draft continues. By the way, we had, is this big football news? I think it is for our region, oddly enough, with the Zach Wilson trade. Matt Perino's in. He's here to do a Bills preview. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I think the Zach Wilson, well, first of all, it's the division you cover. Secondly, I think it's big news out here because I think it signals the Broncos are really in, and I don't mean to kill Zach Wilson, but they're fully committed to the tank this year. Because it's going to be Stiddy, Zach Wilson, and probably someone drafted, maybe not in the first round. What do you think of the trade? Does Wilson have something left they can turn him around, and I guess the Broncos' future here?
I mean, I guess getting out of New York at the very least is somewhat hopeful for him. It went so bad there in such a big way in such a big media market that anything like the next stop would be huge. But he's going into like a situation with a coach that is very tough on quarterback. So he's not going to go in and, you know, it's going to be like a reset year. It's going to be like if he gets to play, I mean, he's going to have to deal with Sean Payton, who crushed Russell Wilson all last year. So I don't know. I think he's got a big arm. I don't know if he has it, like, up top to be able to deal with the pressure and the expectations. And plus, they're not going to be a very good team, to your point. So I don't have high expectations for that.
If I were Wilson, I'd be excited because I want someone who's tough on me, and I guess I'll call Sean Payton a quarterback whisperer, but a lot of the whispering was done to Drew Brees, who was naturally awesome. The one hope is, I mean, and Payton even kind of said it, that Hackett is a clown. And one thing I did notice as the season went along, like Zach Wilson had snippets where he looked better, but and then you also come to the realization, like, are they even running an offense that is built to his strengths? I don't know if they ever really gave him a chance. I mean, I agree with you. He is slow processing, but they never really ran things to help the guy.
No, I mean, that was built in, you know, Aaron Rodgers, what he wanted, the blueprint that he set out for them. And to put Wilson or any other quarterback in that situation, it was a tough ask. But, like, the frustration that kind of felt like was there with him towards the end of the season from reporters that I talked to, I don't know. I agree with everything that you just said. Like, it wasn't a situation that he was going to find success in. But he's also, like, you know, I say all this with the fact that over the last two seasons, he's beaten the Bills twice, like, in games that he started. So, I mean, that he's got that going for him, that he's found ways to win against a team that has a defensive head coach and that has, you know, typically good defenses. But at the same time, like, a lot has to go right in those games, right? Like, the kick return after he kind of comes in for Aaron Rodgers in the opener the year before when the offense just, I think Josh Allen threw a bunch of interceptions that game, which can happen from time to time. It's interesting at the very least, and it's very little, you know, financial investment on Denver's side. So why not just throw it? And it also tells you what I think they think of the quarterbacks that they can get and maybe not wanting to get up high enough to get one of the top three or top two after Caleb, or maybe, like, you know, there's a lot of people that are super high on Drake May. Some are super high on Jaden. But I don't know if I don't think it's, like, widespread that everybody's in on both of those guys. So maybe they're just, the noise is J.J. McCarthy. So maybe they just got to a point where, like, we're not going to give up a bunch of assets. We need to throw a lot of darts. We'll do the Wilson thing for a year, and to your point, just tank it.
And maybe someone slips to him, is your point you're making there with some of those big, you know, big four names. Matt Perino's with us. Syracuse.com is the host of the Shout podcast about the Bills. So before we get to the Bills draft, wild offseason, lots of losses. Obviously, the big one was moving on Stephon Diggs. How'd you feel about Diggs taking a little shot at the Bills Mafia?
Typical. I mean, that was literally the 4 years that he was here. Yeah. I mean, the Twitter stuff was, it just got to be a point where it felt like the reactions to everything that he tweeted, he knew he had everybody in the palm of his hands and he just, like, leaned into it. And, like, the ranch comment, like, he said, he asked for, like, a day or two later, he's like, what's your greatest cheat meal? And, of course, a bunch of Bills fans are like, gotta get chicken wings. He's like, yeah, with the ranch, which is, like, just absolute nonsense in Buffalo. Like, if you have chicken wings without blue cheese here, like, you're ostracized. So he's leaning into it. He's having fun with it.
Yeah.
it is what it is.
Most significant loss aside from him, you know, about 5-6 key players were lost. Aside from Diggs, biggest one.
So I'm not really worried about anything on the defensive side, only because Poyer and Hyde, you know, they're at the twilight of their career. Tre'Davious White's a great player, but two serious injuries over the last 2 years, 3 years, really make you question what he's going to be this season, especially. To me, it's Mitch Morse, the center. The Bills had all five of their offensive line play every snap last season. And the continuity there, you know, that's something that McDermott, Bean both said was a key ingredient to their offense figuring it out after they made the switch to Joe Brady. And now they move on from their longest tenured offensive lineman, except for Deion Dawkins, who they just extended. And he kind of was the glue in the middle with a lot of changing parts at guard over the last couple of years. So they're going to move Connor McGovern, who they got from the Cowboys the year before, from left guard to center. And David Edwards, who was a backup last year, they're going to slot him in at left guard. I definitely think that they could be active, maybe even as early as 28, at interior offensive line. And it's not super sexy. I know a lot of Bills fans, I mean, if you put out a mock draft right now that doesn't have the Bills taking a receiver in the first round, I mean, you're going to have some problems on social media. But, I mean, if you're thinking about this from a logical perspective, the Bills now have to fill a hole left by a guy. Like, I get the McGovern switch, and Edwards is a good player. He started in the Super Bowl for the Rams a couple years ago. But if you want to kind of reset the clock, get a cost-controlled player in the interior, a Graham Barton or a Jackson Powers Johnson, I mean, there's some really intriguing names. And a lot of these wide receivers, the high-end guys, like A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr., even Xavier Worthy, those guys could all be off the board at 28. And are the Bills in a position to trade up again for the third straight year and give up more assets when they have some holes to fill?
When it comes to the rest of the division, and you mentioned all the holes that the Bills would need to fill, but do you think that the Bills are still confident that they can win the division because the other three teams are also taking steps back?
Definitely. And I think they have the best quarterback in the division. And so in that setting, you're always confident that you can kind of continue to figure this thing out. And I think, like, the Miami Dolphins, like, they'll probably add another weapon at some point. I mean, Mike McDaniel, he's really good at finding guys that are going to add a dimension to that offense. So if that offense takes another step forward next season, they're still going to be a contender. I'm bullish on the Dolphins staying within the race, even though I've some questions about their defensive line. I'm very bearish on the Jets. Like, I know a lot of people are kind of super high on Aaron Rodgers coming back, and they've added a couple offensive linemen, old, oft-injured offensive linemen, and they have the 10th pick, so they could add another young player. And that's one thing that Joe Douglas has done really well, is he's hit on their first-round draft picks over the last couple of seasons. I even like Elijah Vera Tucker, who they got a couple years ago in the interior lineman. He's been injured a little bit, but when healthy, he's really good. We did an AFC East fantasy draft last year, and Vera Tucker was, like, I think the second offensive lineman taken of any of the four teams in the AFC East. So they have talent on both sides of the ball. I don't believe in Aaron Rodgers. I don't believe in that offense. And depending on what they do at 10, a lot of people have them taking, like, Brock Bowers, like a fantasy kind of move to go get the top tight end. I think they need to go offensive line, because there's a lot of question marks on that offensive line. And then the Patriots, they're a couple of years away. Even if they hit on the quarterback, I still don't think they're going to have enough to compete this year.
Again, we're talking to Matt Perino, the host of Shout Podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcast. So, Matt, I want to talk about this draft, and you mentioned how a good receiver might not be there at 28. Is there any way that the Bills maybe just trade back and out of the first round altogether?
Oh, I think there's a really good chance. Brandon Bean said last week that had Dalton Kincaid gone a pick before they traded up to get him, the plan was to trade back, and they had a deal on the table that he really liked that would have added an asset, and they would have gone back to the second round. And I think, like, if you put the top three in their own tier, then a lot of evaluators will tell you that Brian Thomas Jr. is in his own tier, that number two tier. And then really there's, like, anywhere from 6 to 10 wide receivers that, depending on who you talk to, all kind of fit in the same bucket. And so if you have that many guys that you're grading that similarly, and you're Brandon Bean, maybe you move back and now you add potentially one, maybe even two more picks in the top 90, The Bills don't have a third-round pick. They traded their third-round pick for Rasul Douglas deadline last year. Great deal. He was really important. They didn't have Trey White after he popped his Achilles, so they need to find another reliable player. They lost their third, and the reason they were willing to do that is because they lost Tremaine Edmonds in free agency, and they were banking on a third-round comp pick this year. It ended up only being a fourth, so they're not in the third round right now. So I think that Brandon Bean wants to maybe move back to try to get back into the third, maybe even add another second. And now you're throwing darts, maybe four darts in the top 90 or 100, which I think you have a better chance to hit. If you trade up and you go get a wide receiver, you better be sold that that guy is not only going to be the guy of the future, the number one of the future, but an instant impact player. If you go out and you do the trade back version, you at least have multiple, you know, shots at finding a player that's going to impact your team, not only over the next 4 years, but in 2024, where, you know, like we've talked about already, they've lost a lot.
Yeah, Bills pick 28, 60, 128, 133, 144. To illustrate your point about moving back, and there, you know, there's lots of receivers in the draft. I was looking at one set of odds for who the draft pick will be specifically by the Bills. It includes a wide receiver, a cornerback, a center guard, a safety, a cornerback, two more wide receivers. And then the field is 9-1. I might actually bet the field.
Yeah, I like that. I like those odds. I think that, especially, like, you know, there's a couple of guys that are really intriguing to me. Did you say safety there in the first couple or no?
There's a safety in the mix, and who is it? It's the kid from Minnesota at 5-1.
Okay. The guy I for the Bills, and obviously this wouldn't be the field then, but Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, to me, screams Sean McDermott. Versatility, can return kicks, super tough, elite-level tackler. Like, to me, that's the kind of the guy that they're trying to fit in after losing Poyer and Hyde. And I know a lot of people say that he can play corner, but I think a lot of teams also are saying, like, they'll put him wherever they have a hole. Defensive line is also in the mix, and it's tough for Bills fans because when they've swung on day one and two at D-line over the last couple of years, it's been just, Like, Greg Rousseau a couple years ago, really good out of Miami, but more of like a run defender than a pass rusher. A.J. Epenesa has been fine. He's had 6.5 sacks the last couple of years, but again, just fine. Boogie Basham was so bad, they traded him before they even got to the end of the second season with him. So it hasn't been a good return early for defensive line. And then at defensive tackle, they have Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, who started for them last year, and then a whole lot of nothing. I mean, they brought in a couple of veteran guys. They really like this kid, Austin Johnson, coming over from the Chargers. But if you look at some of his PFF numbers, they don't blow you away. So I think defensive tackle, edge rusher, depending on if one of those guys is available, that could definitely be in play as well.
Matt, where can people find the coverage later this week? Where should they go? You doing any special podcasts? We have a lot of Bills fans here in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Podcast every day. We just dropped their first going over my partner's seven-round Bills mock draft. My final seven-rounder will be out either tomorrow or Wednesday. And then we will do a full one-round live mock draft with somebody from the Draft Network who crushed the draft coverage, Justin Mello. He's awesome. And one of our other local Buffalo reporters on Wednesday. That's live, 4 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Take care.
There he is, Matt Parrino. That is hilarious. I hadn't seen Stephon Diggs with his trolling. All I saw was a troll about how, you know, the fans are whatever in the Bills Mafia. I didn't see him follow up with a troll of ranch with the wings and how mad people in Buffalo get because it's supposed to be blue cheese.
That's so soft.
Why is it soft? They're hardcore on their wings and what to dip it in.
Look at how, see, he's doing it again. Ranch, how could he? He was never a true Bill. What are we talking about?
Odds, and I mentioned some specific player odds to Parrino. Where did I have this here? This is from, I don't think these are available in town because it's a book that doesn't book in town. But anyway, A.D. Mitchell plus 300, Kool-Aid McKinstry 400, on down to Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU, 11-1. Field 9-1. Odds for just the first player drafted by position, minus 280 wide receiver for the Bills. I would try any way to play against that. I think I really believe that teams in that 20 to 32 range, maybe a little bit lower, most of them, don't swear by this, but most of them are going to draft best available with a little bit of need sprinkled in. I think it's bad of an organization to be like, we have to get a receiver. We lost Diggs. We've got to get a guy there. No. If you have needs at cornerback where they've lost some veterans and you got needs on the defensive line, if any of those three positions has someone super high on your board, then you don't, you're not locked in just because it's an obvious, like, hey, you know, Diggs is gone. Minus 280 is a ridiculous price to pay.
You say that, Steven? I don't have any logic to back up what I'm going to say, but here's what I got to say.
Don't do it.
What if the Minnesota Vikings had taken your advice and not drafted Justin Jefferson?
I'd have to look back on their needs at the time. And what I'm talking about are the odds.
You lose the guy, you go get the next guy.
No, you don't.
Ipso facto.
No, that's not. By the way, we had a bet mentioned earlier in the hour. Let's do some research on the Caitlin Clark 50 piece.
Don't need it.
If she's going to do it in a game in the WNBA, it is available. I need some research on this.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on here on a Monday. Logan Thompson will be in goal. If you're looking for VGK preview, change the station right now. Well, don't do it that quickly, but full breakdown on VGK Insider Show, and then the pre is up on our sister station, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9, 1340. Magnum, Chris Chapman, will be hosting that tonight, and he'll be at the official VGK viewing party at Circa. At Stadium Swim, you can watch it inside at Circa Sports, but outside Stadium Swim, once the sun goes down, even during the day, it's a spectacular venue, 143-foot screen, official party means Vegas Vivas, special giveaways, free entry, just wear some kind of VGK gear, and then Chance will be on the scene, and they'll have other festivities going on, game sound. Probably fireworks would scare me. I love them. We have a good fireworks story I have to get to later in the week. That's a tease that I probably won't pay off.
That's recent?
More fireworks are coming to downtown. I love fireworks, but I won't bring that up until, one, Adam Hill is back in the studio, because then he'll tell me I don't like fireworks. Or drums, or bands, or nature. There's a lot of things I say I like, and then he counters with, like, no, you don't.
I don't like loud noises.
I don't either. But I know when the fireworks, for the most part, are coming.
I think one of the, real quick, a quick tangent, when people are surprised by me, oh, you work in radio, when you're in the car with me, I don't care if it's a podcast or music, I keep it so low.
Do you?
When people are like, oh, don't touch my radio, but I am like, what do you do? Why are you turning it up? No. Let's just keep it at a nice, low volume.
I'm with you. If the music gets too loud, passenger wants to crank it up, I'm like, I'm driving, man. Gotta concentrate. Woman, relax. Into the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Caitlin Clark prop is up from Superbook at Westgate. Will she have 50 points in a game? There is not a no. It's just a yes bet.
Plus what?
It's 25-1. What do you want?
Come on, y'all. Don't let them take your money.
She had 49 in an Iowa game. That was a career high, and the games are shorter. I think. Now we have to do more research on the WNBA.
We don't have another commercial break.
Someone text that in. 364-1100, 364-1100, Finley Kia text line. Damon, we got some texts throughout the show to catch up on.
Yes.
Well, pick the best, please. We're very discerning.
Okay. Isn't the tax deal the same with the Raiders? We as homeowners are on the juke for public funding if money doesn't hit.
Right, but the Raiders' money is based on the hotel room tax, which it did lag in the middle because of COVID, but they've been ahead of the game the entire time. This 380, I don't believe, has anything to do with the hotel room tax.
And this is going back to the first hour. You introduced quibbles and queries.
Yeah, what happened?
And someone said quibbles and bits.
Quibbles and bits. Well, I kind of wanted the hard CK sound with the Cofield quibble queries. And for some reason, this is a very old reference. I was thinking of Papa Joe, who used to use that terminology. So I'm going to pay homage to good old Papa Joe. And Damon shook his head like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Shout out to him.
Yeah. We have a lot of complaints and questions that we need to get to. We're going to do that every day at 3:30 in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Now here's you. You know, I just mentioned Papa Joe. I mentioned Quibbles queries. You're shaking your head like I don't know. I don't know what's happening in this Jokic commercial movie promo. Please play it, and then we can explain it.
I thought I looked really good that day. I put on this beautiful suit that said, "I mean business."
Like the one you're wearing?
Yes.
Then what happened?
They say I looked like Gru.
Why does that bother you?
It doesn't.
Then why bring it up?
Because they won't leave me alone.
They?
Guys, I'm not your boss.
Illumination's Despicable Me 4.
I don't know what those things are.
They're minions.
Oh, those are minions?
Yes, they're minions.
Have I never seen any of these movies?
Probably not. It's what the fourth one, Steve.
What are they all named?
Some of them have names. I think Bob's one, but they don't really speak English. It's all the...
Okay.
Yes, but they're minions and they work for Gru.
Who's Gru?
He's the evil turned good scientist.
Okay. And I need to watch this?
You don't need
now
to.
Well, Jokic is involved, so I probably need to understand what's happening here.
No, there's a tie-in that he looks like Gru, and he also came to game one dressed as Gru, where it's really just a black blazer, a turtleneck, and a gray scarf. And that's what Jokic wore into the arena in game one.
All right.
Really leaning into the tie-in.
Okay. I like those types of movies. Whatever the genre is, is it just simply animated?
Yeah, a nice animated family fun movie.
Okay. You're losing confidence.
No, I've only seen the first one, to be honest, because it's been around forever.
But you're shocked I don't know the Minions.
Yes.
I think I've been aware of them, but I'm not sure.
I think the Minions are definitely more famous than Gru.
Okay. Number three. We're back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Big discussion. It was like 4 minutes. If you're Scottie Scheffler, you have a child on the way, due date could be 5 days or 3 weeks. If the wife goes into labor, the kid's on the way, you're in the second round of the Masters, you're kicking ass, do you just leave? And you and Adam Hill fought tooth and nail. I said, yes, special moment, get the hell out of there. Enjoy the birth of your first child. You countered with?
You're going to need that $3 million. You got to set that kid up for life.
What's more beneficial? The kid seeing you and not remembering, or that you set him up with $3 million with a win?
Set him up with $3 million.
That was your point.
But also, Scottie Scheffler.
Yes.
We've got to do some digging on his wife's pregnancy situation. Because this was the Masters 2 weeks ago that he's like, oh, if she goes into labor during the Masters, I'm just not going to go. He competed in another tournament this past weekend. So is she going to pop it any second now or not?
Does it matter now? He can miss any golf tournament he wants. How much money has he won?
He has won in the last 43 days, $16.2 million.
My Lord. That's kind of good.
Yeah, so no more. Well, now he doesn't need to participate in any tournaments. But maybe this whole I'm worried about the baby coming early was all a ruse to get us to care about Scottie Scheffler.
When you're a guy that successful, you have a kid on the way, we know some responsible parents will be like, you know what? I've got this. My fortune's this big. The child is only getting this. Maybe they get more down the road. Maybe I put some parameters in. They got to prove, and then they get more money. Is there any chance Scottie Scheffler's like 16-2, I'm taking home, whatever, 8.5. You know what? We're going to set aside $2 million. That's it, which is still good, but that's it. And then we'll give him a talk at about 4. When do you start understanding? We'll do it at 7. Hey, here's money. It's a lot, but you can make a lot more. Be a good kid. Be a good adult. And the avalanche of money is coming.
Sure, that's what Jordan told his kids, too.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I don't think parents do that. But I'm also not a parent, so I have no idea.
Don't interrupt my craft in the gravy train to keep rolling in.
Oh, that's right. After the race win. I told you. Don't bust my chops. I'm trying to win here. Thanks to Matt Perino. A special thanks to Battleborn Injury Lawyers Justin Watkins, who was in studio earlier. Matt Jacob for being very flexible. And, of course, Steve Kim. Check him out on Twitter. Great boxing stuff at Steve Kim 323.